Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
A home run on the first inning. Here he sends one deep down the left field line. If it stays fair, it is gone, and it is fair and gone. Baby gone for Andrew Vaughn. Second home run of the night. All three home runs for Charlotte have been solo shots. That gives Charlotte a 5-0 lead.
Andrew Vaughn with a home run. Did it a lot, actually. He's a big league hitter. I think we know it now, right? We all feel like we know it. It's 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel is who you're with on Sunday mornings. We do Hit and Run, where we talk Cubs and White Sox for 3 hours every Sunday morning. And today is no different. Sean Sears producing and on the phone right now. Our Circa Resort and Casino hotline is Jack McMullen, the veteran minor league announcer. I can say that now, right? You're a veteran. You've been doing it for multiple seasons. I mean, Cape Cod
veteran,
League.
Let's see. Short season ball in 2019, and then high A ball in 2020, which didn't happen, and high A ball in 2021. So, yeah, I guess like year four of minor league ball.
Yeah. Veteran? Yeah, longtime veteran minor league voice, Jack McMullen, joins us right now. He's doing the Indianapolis Indians. That's the Pittsburgh Pirates AAA team. So you've seen a lot of O'Neill Cruz, right? We're going to talk Cubs and Sox prospects with you, but you've seen a lot of him. How's he looking, by the way?
Yeah, I'm seeing O'Neill Cruz. O'Neill is, if you look at the numbers, not too hot right now. He's hitting, I want to say, under .180 at the moment. So all the people that were coming for Ben Charrington's head when O'Neill did not make the opening day roster, they should probably check out MILB.com and check out what O'Neill's doing down here. But you know what? When the ball is put in play, it's like 115 miles an hour. He hit a line drive single in Charlotte the other night, 121.7 miles per hour, which only Giancarlo Stanton has hit the ball harder in the last several years.
All right. So, look, you know, Jack will help us with a visual scout of players that you will be seeing for the Cubs and the White Sox. And I want you to start with Andrew Vaughn, who you got to see for a few different days of his rehab assignment. What's it like when you're seeing a hitter like that and you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's what a big league hitter looks like. Was it very obvious to watch him and see his skill level in that way?
Yeah. It's exactly that. It's like, oh, he's just bigger and better than everybody else down here. I work with Howard Kelman, who's been the voice of the Indianapolis Indians for 46 years now. And I mean, we were just, whenever we went to a commercial break in his multi-homer game, I want to say that was on Thursday, we were like, wow, I mean, this guy just looks bigger and better. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, they fast-tracked Vaughn. He could have used some time in Birmingham and Charlotte. When you see big league pitching and you come down here, he went 0-for-4 in his first game of the rehab assignment with 3 groundouts. And then he has that multi-homer game, and both of them were no doubt shots to the pull side. He just capitalizes on AAA pitches, you know, like 93, you leave it over the heart of the plate. A big league hitter and a guy with an OPS over 900 at the big league level is going to burn you, and that's exactly what Vaughn did.
So your mean Mercedes is down there. Obviously, Jake Berger, Blake Rutherford. What's going on when you watch your mean? What's the temperament like? What's the attitude like when you're watching him up close right now?
You're catching me at the perfect time because your mean just got ejected last night.
Oh wow!
Mean got ejected last night. Tell you what, your mean has hit 2 homers this week. He had a no doubt shot last night. It was a blowout win for Charlotte, 12-2. And Mercedes, you know, he was having a good day, but he was just really struggling to make contact with breaking balls. I mean, he was putting bad swings on breaking balls all night last night. And then there was a pitch, you know, granted, you don't have the highest level of umpire, although I think the AAA umpires are very good down here. You know, you just had a breaking ball that was borderline, probably was a called strike if the catcher set up on the inside corner and caught it on the inside corner. But the problem was Indy's catcher was set up on the outside corner, and he entirely whiffed the curveball with his glove. So it was, you know, a pass ball. It got away. And Yermin was rung up on a called strike 3. So granted, understandable, like they didn't sell it as a strike and it was a borderline strike, but it got to the point where he was tossed for arguing balls and strikes.
You know, look, this is a team in the middle of their winning window who's going for it and will occasionally need help on the bottom of the roster from players who can come up, step in, and be effective. There's 2 25-year-olds I want to ask you about. Yolbert Sanchez, the young infielder. There are Sox fans who dream of him coming up and defensively upgrading you right away at second base. Is he ready to be in the big leagues, Yolbert?
Defensively, yeah, and he's hitting the ball well. Yolbert's, I want to say, 320 so far this year, so he's hitting the ball well. He's not going to hit for power. I think you're probably getting comparable production to Josh Harrison. But Yolbert Sanchez, I mean, yeah, younger, team control, right? So there are a lot of those pros there. But, you know, Yolbert, he's not standing out like this guy needs to be in the big leagues right now. But he's certainly a good baseball player for the Charlotte Knights. And he should get a shot if, you know, the roster up top on the south side needs Yolbert Sanchez.
Yeah, he's hitting 327. The OPS is at 801. There are no home runs, but it's the defensive slickness and competence that feels like would be a major boon. And so maybe he'll be that guy in terms of the middle infield. And then if they need a spot start, or if they really want to think about a guy, I guess he could be a long man, but he's really a starter, isn't he? Davis Martin. Tell us about Davis Martin, who's getting a lot of nice pub right now, nice press.
Okay, yeah, so this guy came out of absolutely nowhere. I think he had an ERA hovering around 5 with AA Birmingham last year, and he was a middle-round pick out of Texas Tech, I want to say 2018. But this year, all the stuff ticked up, and I got the spin data and all that, and I got the velos coming into the start because I asked a buddy of mine that has access to that stuff. Not legally access to that stuff, but I asked him, and you know, I said, give me the lowdown on Davis Martin, and he said, oh wow, Davis Martin, like, this is exciting. He's got, you know, that fastball in the 2400 2500 RPM range, so a high spin fastball that's 94 to 96. and he's got tight breaking balls. He's got a good curveball, a slider, and a changeup. I was excited going into the start, and then he throws six shutout innings, and he was as impressive of a starting pitcher as we've seen so far this year. I mean, this guy was mid-90s with pinpoint command of the fastball. He's got a sharp power curve but still has a lot of vertical drop. Think of like a harder 12-6 curveball. Mm-hmm. And then he couples that with a tight slider and a good changeup that runs like a circle change. So this is a guy that has four pitches that he can commit that I think could be really effective if they need a spot start here.
Yeah, four-pitch mix, and if you're hitting your fastball with command like that and mixing it in comfortably, repeating the mechanics, that sounds good for a back-of-rotation arm and maybe somebody even they could use in a pinch. All right, how about Johnny Cueto, last White Sox player of consequence? That's a big leaguer with really funky timings and deliveries and obviously quick-pitch stuff and really weird. But how did Cueto look? How close is he, you think?
Well, the Indy brass and the Pirates brass that was watching Cueto start on Wednesday had a blast because do you remember that wild card game where you had the fans at PNC Park chanting Cueto and he dropped the ball and balked?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so they had a blast with that one. Tell you what, man, Johnny Cueto, he's still got something left in the tank. And I think today is the deadline for them to add him to the 26-man roster before he has an opt-out on his contract that he signed with the White Sox. A lot of those veteran minor leaguers get opt-outs on May 15. So if they don't add him, then Cueto can opt out of that deal. But I think they should add him, man. I mean, you have all this suspect starting pitching, and granted, some of those guys have thrown really well, but having Johnny Cueto in that clubhouse, having Johnny Cueto that you can run out while Lance Lynn gets healthy and while Giolito's on the COVID IL, he still provides something, and he was pounding the strike zone. I think he can give you four innings, five innings every fifth day.
Yeah, I think Cueto will probably be here Tuesday or be with the White Sox Tuesday as they go against Kansas City. That slot is open and has been talked about being left open. All right, good stuff. So take me to Iowa, or at least take me to Indianapolis when Iowa was there. Brennan Davis has had a very, very rough season. What did he look like when you scouted his at-bats in person, Jack?
So I saw Brennan Davis when he was in South Bend in High A last year, and I talked to you after that. I mean, this guy was as electrifying as they came at the High A level. And, I mean, it's just a new year and this new him that he's got to shake off at the moment. And he got better as the week progressed, but you could tell, like, you know when you see a guy's forearms just a little bit more defined because they're holding the bat tighter than they typically do? It felt like he was pressing. And he was extending the zone. He was striking out all the time at the beginning of the year. And looking at Fangraphs, I mean, this guy, he just wasn't hitting line drives. I think at a certain point, like a month into the season, he had the lowest line drive rate in AAA baseball, or one of the lowest line drive rates in AAA baseball. And that's Brennan Davis's game. He's a really good athlete. He's going to figure this out. It just stinks for Cubs fans and for Iowa Cubs fans that the first month of the year was slow getting out of the gates for Brennan Davis.
How about Caleb Killian? Caleb Killian has been terrific this year at AAA. Killian, part of the package they got from San Francisco for the Bryant deal, right? It was him and Alexander Canario for Chris Bryant. I know you've seen Canario at South Bend last year, and that guy's got an outrageous power. But what can you tell us about Killian, who was probably going to debut for the big club sometime this year?
I thought Killian was awesome, man. And when the deal went through, it was this really exciting piece in low A for San Francisco and Canario, right? And then Killian was almost the filler that could turn out to be a reliever type. Killian's got crazy command. He led minor league baseball in strikeout to walk rate last year. And you can see that this year. And it's not like he throws 89 to 91. When you think command, you think 89 to 91 in 2022. But don't think like that anymore. Think about George Kirby, who can run it up to 100 miles an hour that, walked six guys and struck out 107 his junior year at Elon. Like, that's not, you know, that's not the severity that Killian does it. But Killian's the type of guy that can go six and punch out seven and walk one in his major league debut. That's the type of command of multiple pitches that Killian has.
Well, folks, maybe you heard by Jack's reference to the Mariners young pitcher George Kirby and his stats at Elon College that my dude's waters run a little deeper than just the Indianapolis Indians. Just Baseball is the podcast. Just Baseball is also the website where you can read. I mean, we'll update people on the state of the empire here, Jack McMullen. What are you most passionately creating on the daily?
Oh, man. Well, I love calling games. I love working with my partner here, Howard Kelman, again. So I'm loving my evenings in Indianapolis. But daytime, yeah, the Just Baseball show, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts and justbaseball.com. I'm scratching that writing itch that I know you and I both have a little bit. Podcasting. Like, it's pretty interesting, right, with talk radio, with play-by-play, which I know you do. You major league play-by-play, are you?
You bet.
Podcasting too, you get to scratch all these, you know, you get to work all these creative muscles that you don't work at all times. So it's really fun. I have a really good time talking about baseball.
Yeah, you can go ahead. It came out of my mouth one time when people were talking to me about what I was doing. It's like, I don't know. I'm a multi-level baseball person. So I enjoy that. I enjoy that. You too are becoming a multi-level baseball person. So just run with that.
I'm trying.
So look, that's good stuff about Killian as we get back to that and stick with Cubs here for a minute, because the numbers at AAA are similar to what you'd mentioned in terms of 32 strikeouts, just 12 walks in 28 and two thirds innings at AAA for Killian. And he had a breakout of sorts in the Arizona Fall League, last year. And in those playoffs, that was fun to watch, but you know, when you talked about Kirby, it seems like Killian fits that. What do you love about the profile here? It seems to be a statistically informed, or at least analytically informed, young man who still has the moxie and the guts to pitch on the human level, something like that.
Yeah, 100%. So he's a more subdued version of, I think, what you're getting with Kirby, who is a more subdued version of what you're getting from Walker Buehler. Where Buehler has electric stuff, five pitches, and he commands all of it. Like, Buehler does not miss spots, and that's why he can go deep in games. Kirby is a step below that, and I think Killian is a step below that. But if you're looking for a three or four man that can throw 60 pitches through six innings when the stars align, that's the type of guy you're getting with Caleb Killian. And I think, you know, with those 12 walks you said in a little under 30 innings, that's still a good number, but he's, I think, more comfortable throwing balls, throwing pitches that start in the strike zone and tail out of the strike zone or curve out of the strike zone. I think Killian is the type of guy that has pretty decent stuff, and he's learning to trust the stuff more. He doesn't have crazy stuff like a Buehler or a Kirby, but his ability to mesh stuff plus command was really impressive.
Yeah, you know, when you find guys like that who can get strikeouts and not walk you, it's pretty amazing. Like, right now in the big league level, Kevin Gausman has thrown 45 innings over the course of seven starts. He's walked two people. Two. It's just outrageous when you can find certain guys like that. Who are your favorite big leaguers to watch pitch these days, Jack?
Walker Buehler's at the very top of the list. I love that guy. I love everything he does on the mound. I love what kind of competitor he is. I have had a really good time watching Gausman. You know who I'm turning on all the time is Joe Musgrove. And I know that he's pitching this morning. Mm-hmm. I think Musgrove is an absolute gamer. I think he should get a nine-figure deal this offseason from whoever wants to pay him, whether that be the Padres or somebody else. But the fastball is lively. He has command of a great breaking ball. I love Musgrove. I love watching Buehler. And yep. Listen, man, whenever Chris Sale comes back from this rib thing, I'm in on every start that Chris Sale.
Well, you know, and it's funny. And sometimes there's that old salt. I don't know how he does it. It's like Verlander coming off Tommy John here. What is he, 39? He's got the best whip in Major League Baseball among all starting pitchers at 0.64.
Matt, he leads Major League Baseball starting pitchers in hits per nine. And Verlander, I thought it was hilarious. I was watching Todd Callis and the Astros TV crew, and they said that Verlander told them a couple of things, a couple of milestones that he wants to hit. Because he's 39 years old. He's got over 3,000 innings pitched, over 3,000 strikeouts. He said, A, he wants to throw till he's 45. And B, he wants to win 300 games. Who in their right mind in 2022 says that wins is something that they want to do?
I'll tell you who it is. It's a starting pitcher that routinely goes into the seventh and sometimes the eighth and knows he's on a good enough team that he'll have a lead a lot of those times as long as the bullpen doesn't blow it. If starting pitchers can go deep enough, I like that they still care about it. You know, like, I think it's a healthy thing for starting pitchers to care about. Whether we as analysts need to value it or not is another question.
Oh, my God. 100%. And one more guy before we move off that I absolutely love watching, and I know you love watching, too, is Shane McClanahan with Tampa. Lefty that throws, he sits 98 with his fastball and has unhittable slider and curveball.
All right, so there is. Jack, what's your experience been like with the new rules? What are you seeing? I know that you sent the text last night, and I actually shared at the beginning of the show. You had a game last night, 17 combined walks between the two teams, and with the pitch clock still done under 3 hours, 2 hours and 57 minutes. So you're seeing the pitch clock. What else? What are the other rules that you're seeing?
The pitch clock is the main one. I saw the pickoff rule in high A last year. That doesn't exist here, but... Yeah, the pitch clock is the main one here in AAA, which I am a massive fan of. I don't think we've had a nine-inning game go 3 hours since the first week of the season, and we've had games that go 2 hours and 5 minutes, 2 hours and 6 minutes. And listen, we started with 10 combined walks for the first two innings last night, 17 combined, like you said, over the nine-inning game, and it still was 2 hours and 57 minutes.
So, anybody complaining? I know that Wes Helms of the Charlotte Knights did complain. A couple other different people. Like, it messes with the timing. I wonder if you're seeing unhappy hitters or unhappy pitchers, if either.
So, I've seen unhappy pitchers more than I've seen unhappy hitters, even though I've heard from some hitters that they're not necessarily a big fan of it. I think a lot of those guys are in and ready to roll. And unhappy pitchers, I think where they get unhappy, if you're throwing well, the pitch clock doesn't need to be on. I mean, you're getting it and you're throwing in 10 seconds, right? Like, all you want to do is fire the next pitch. But when you miss with three consecutive pitches, all you want to do is take that lap around the mound and take a deep breath and shrug your shoulders. And they aren't afforded that opportunity. So you got to think of quicker ways to take that quick mental beat and reset, right? So I think that pitchers are getting more visibly frustrated when things aren't going their way.
Jack McMullen, a pleasure. Thanks, man. Nice talking to you. Thanks for the info. And you got a game today?
Got a game today. We could go in at about 40 minutes.
All right. Enjoy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. It's Jack McMullen, voice of the AAA Indianapolis Indians, giving you some info on some of the kids that are out there. Chris Kempka will be coming up next, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago. And today is an anniversary that I need to talk about towards the end of the show. Keep it here. It's Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Ground ball. Velasquez throws across. Hit the The kid, great kid, a battler. What stuff, what a moment, something he will remember the rest of his life.
Pretty cool moment during the course of the week. Been a fun week in baseball nationally as you look around at some of the stuff that's going on. Some very, very good teams. A lot of coastal elites right now. The Angels are 23-13. On the strength of Shohei Ohtani, who hit his 100th home run yesterday, and Mike Trout, and that the rest of that absurd lineup, they're tied with the Astros atop the National League West in what should be a very fun division race the whole way. And the Dodgers, of course, at 20-12, they're tied above the National League West with the San Diego Padres. So the two of them out west on the coast. And then on the east, it's Yankees and it's Mets. The Yankees, even with the loss to the White Sox last night, at 24-9, the best record in baseball. And then the Mets at 23-12, the best record in the National League. So it's the Centrals that are struggling, other than the Brewers at 21-13. And one of the stars for the Brewers has been Christian Yelich, who's absolutely hammering the ball now. He's back to being that guy. Maybe not with all the power, But if you look at like the expected stats numbers and stuff like that, which is really just a fancy way of looking at, is he hitting the ball hard? The answer is yes. He's hitting the ball hard with consistency and on the regular. So the Brewers are easily the class of the National League Central. That is, that's for sure. So, you know, it's an interesting moment around MLB. Some teams will sort of have to try and figure out exactly what they are and who they are as the trade deadline will approach. I got to mention, by the way, that last night on a beautiful night here in Chicago, took my boy to the White Sox game and the Yankees game on a gorgeous night. It was a great game. We stayed the whole time, stayed till the walk-off, and the emotional explosion of the crowd at the end of that one was very satisfying. Talked about that part of it a little bit earlier, but we went up to the kids zone, which is upstairs at the ballpark, you know, out there in left field. And if you go to the game with a kid, and I know it's a lot of steps, and if you are, I don't know, not someone who loves steps, hi everybody, good morning, you still got to go up there and take them up there. It's so good. So good. The kids had so much fun. They immediately did the running thing where you try to run faster than Tim Anderson, but it's not really Tim Anderson, folks. He's actually playing the game that's on the field. It's a cardboard cutout of Tim Anderson on a on a little treadmill, and an operator like a carny of sorts, a glorified baseball carny, hits a button and your kid's got to beat him. So there's that. And then there's the hitting upstairs with the batting cages. There's an area where you can pitch and try to knock down catchers as they go by like they were ducks. There's more carnies there. And, you know, and these are kind of fun jobs. Seem to be youngsters, maybe people in their 20s. Hey, I get to work at the kids zone during a White Sox game. It's pretty cool. And you're up there at the second level, third level, fourth level as you keep climbing higher. It's actually a really fun perspective on the ball game. Way up high there in left field to look down and see the field. It's really kind of pretty. They don't sell drinks up there, which is probably wise, because not only are there kids everywhere, obviously, and that's a big reason, but there's also really, really high perspectives, and you don't want, you know, drunken adults up there doing silly things. But, man, it was so fun to watch the kids do their thing. And then I got to give a shout-out to the baseball carny who was playing first base at the fielding exhibit there in the kids' zone. Because it's like, you know, it's a little mini infield, and the kids, especially if you bring a glove, you can go over there and it'll throw you a couple of grounders, then you make the throw. The first baseman, you know, I imagine they'd rotated a little bit, but it seemed like this guy had been there for a while. He just wasn't stretching anymore. He'd given up trying to be a good target for the kids and maybe to help them out a little. Like, help your infielders out a little bit, dude. These kids are making the best throw they can across the mini diamond. And we were just laughing so hard because the baseball carny first baseman was just like, oh, yeah, no. Just like barely extending the arm, not stretching at all. Terrible footwork over there. And the kids were committing throwing error after throwing error after throwing error. It's like you're trying to build confidence in these young baseball minds. Have a little help.
Yeah, what about a scoop or two? Come on.
Yeah, a scoop or like, oh, yeah, that throw. No, sorry, kid. That's 18 inches to the right of my chest. Can't make that catch. If you don't throw it right at my glove, then this is the lesson. No big league first baseman will ever help you out. You have to throw it right here or not. Come on, man.
Oh, man. That's rough.
That's the hardest we laughed all night, though, I think, was watching the first baseman. I mean, it's kind of a miserable existence, I suppose, after a while. Damn kids. Come on. I don't want to turn around and go. There's a wall back there. All right, it bounced off. Now you go get it. You go get it. And they would. My boy's like, oh, great, I get to make two throws. I'll go get the ball as it bounced off the wall behind you.
Getting the kids to fetch the ball for you, too.
Yes!
That's a look.
That's next-level laziness for the baseball carnies among us. My God.
G, you guys get to try any of the good food out there at the Sox Park?
Yeah, I chose the Polish with the grilled onions and the mustard.
Yeah, classic.
It's tough to go wrong. I was trying to tell my guys, like, hey, man, the elotes are here. You got to go get elotes. Or the Cuban Comet. The Cuban sandwich is for real.
I've heard good things about it.
So we almost went in that direction. But no, just, you know, it's hard for me to resist, especially because you can't get grilled onions with frequency on the north side.
You really can't. You got to find that right vendor.
You got to find that right spot. It'd be difficult. I got to remember next time I go and I find that one vendor that's got it. I got to remember.
Drop
and
a I'll pin. Share
it. Yes. Oh, could I drop a pin with that much specificity?
I don't know. We could. We'll have to try. I guess we'll have to go to a couple games, see if we can make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. We will check lineups for you, get you started for your next couple of ball games later on today, and we can also look at some of the matchups that are upcoming here in MLB, because some of the probable pitchers for the games of consequence, you know about the White Sox ones, and I told you about that with Nestor Cortez, who was terrific last time out, and Michael Kopech, so that's a good matchup at 1 o'clock or 1:10 Central. And then for the Cubs in Arizona, it's Justin Steele getting a start against Umberto Castellanos. That's at 3:10 Central. But Verlander, the aforementioned Verlander, goes today for the Astros against Patrick Corbin. And the Nationals, and then Joe Musgrove, who Jack McMullen was talking about, of the Padres against Kyle Wright. That's a very good matchup right there. The Mariners and Mets this afternoon, Robbie Ray and Carlos Carrasco is a nice one. And then one of my favorite pitchers in baseball for Cleveland, Dr. Sticks, Tristan McKenzie. God, he's so thin. There's barely anything there to him except for a giant arm and a nasty, nasty breaking pitch. McKenzie and Joe Ryan, your White Sox competitors, Guardians and Twins today at 1:10 Central. Brandon Woodruff going for the Brewers today. And then the night game tonight is the Giants and the Cardinals, and that is a terrific pitching matchup. That is Adam Wainwright in his final year as a guy who has adjusted and is now pitching with so much control and so much smarts and pitching very well against a guy who may be the best pitcher in baseball right now, and that's Carlos Rodon. Right now, Carlos Rodon is absolutely outrageous. There's a big article about Carlos Rodon's four-seam fastball on MajorLeagueBaseball.com this morning. And He's just remarkable right now. And the work he did with Ethan Katz and the core velocity belt was amazing. Should the White Sox have given him the one-year tender? Maybe. Should they have paid him for a long-term contract? I don't think so. I understand why they didn't. I think all of the industry and probably a lot of Sox fans are kind of watching and wondering what Rodon's going to look like in July and August and September and whether he will slow down. And if that's going to be the case, then everybody will be able to say, see, that's the fear. That's the problem. That's the fear. But man, as of right now, unbelievably good. Could watch him tonight, Giants against Cardinals. We'll talk to Chris Kampka and celebrate an anniversary I want to discuss with you as well on 670 The Score next.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
You're listening to Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Speaks here with you on a Sunday morning, about to be a Sunday afternoon. Should be another lovely day for baseball for the most part, and another lovely day to play ball with the boy. There will be a little bit of rain here just in this hour, then maybe a little bit of rain later on, but should be a nice wide open window for White Sox and Yankees coming up at 1 o'clock. And before that broadcast gets going on NBC Sports Chicago, our guy Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, gets to join us as we do Camp Connected on a Sunday on Hit and Run. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good, Speaks. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful, man. Had a really nice night at the ballpark last night, and there was a walk-off win to go with it, although still just three runs. They seemed to not score big piles of runs there on the south side with an offense that I thought would be scoring big piles of runs.
No, but for some reason it's working. So consider this.
Since April 30th, the White Sox are 9-1 when they score four or fewer runs, which is insane. Considering the rest of Major League Baseball over that span is a combined 101 games under 500 at 68 and 169. So, you know, it's the combination of excellent pitching for the most part and scoring, you know, just enough to get by, and the White Sox are doing it. They're 0-3 when they score five or more over that same span. So it's just, I mean, figure it out. It's weird.
It is really weird. It's such a stressful way to have to play games, you know, because we end up picking apart Tony and picking apart bullpen choices because there are no blowouts. They need more blowouts. I was reading James Fegan on The Athletic was looking at blowout wins, you know, and through 32 games now, the White Sox have, I believe, just two. It's one. It's one blowout win. No team has fewer than the White Sox. The Reds have two blowout wins. The White Sox only have one. They had 14 blowout wins in 60 games in the shortened pandemic year. So it's just not happening at this point.
Yeah, the alarming thing is not only do they just have one blowout win, they're 1-6 in games that are decided by five or more runs, which is how we define blowouts. So, yikes. But, I mean, at least, you know, you figure, okay, guys are going to get healthy eventually. So they're really doing a good job of holding themselves over and hanging in there until the offense gets right, which we all assume is going to. Yeah. We all hope it's going to.
Yeah.
And I love bringing up blowout wins because I think blowout wins is really a great – it's a better measuring stick than one-run games because, I mean, the teams that get a lot of blowout wins are always good teams pretty much. And with one-run games, it's a mixed bag. I mean, you have some really bad teams that are good at them and, you know, but, you know, right now the offense isn't coming through, but they're getting it done. And it's just, you don't know how, but who cares? They're getting it done.
The Dodgers have 10 blowout wins on the year. The Yankees have 6 blowout wins on the year. And it just does wonders for you. You empty out that back end of the bullpen if you need it. You buy everybody a day of rest, and a day of anxiety goes away for both coaches and players, and that stuff matters. Fun night, though, because we had a ninth-inning win for the White Sox and a ninth-inning win for the Cubs last night, Chris.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty amazing that they did what they did. Entering yesterday, the Cubs had two ninth-inning runs all year, and they allowed 4 ninth-inning runs all year. And yesterday, they score 3 and allow 1. So you almost doubled your entire season total of 9-inning runs scored in Cub games in general. Hmm. And, I mean, who does that? I mean, it was nice to see them scoring in the ninth. But, I mean, you realize that they only allowed 5 runs all year in the ninth inning. So that's a good trend as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even when there's some games on the road where you don't play a ninth inning, but overall that's pretty nice. You get a win on the road.
Yeah, you do get a win on the road with some ninth inning runs. Was asking for Cubs fans what they had as positives in terms of some of the ball players that they're watching. And it's Alfonso Rivas. It's a little bit of Nico Horner, Ichiro Suzuki's, even though he has toned it down, and Keegan Thompson. So there's a few things. There's a few players doing some work there on the positive front. And Scott Efros, man. Scott Efros is doing well, and I just like watching him throw. You know why, Kampka? It reminds me of the moment when I was a kid when I was throwing sidearm, and I think I was 11, and I thought briefly, I might make it to the big leagues. I like, you know what? I just figured it out. I just realized that this is how to do it, and I'm going to make it to the big leagues. Did you ever have a moment as a child where you thought you were destined for such things?
I didn't, but I share your enjoyment of watching a good sidearmer. I mean, you get a bunch of guys who throw a certain way, and then you kind of throw in a wild card, you know, something completely different to give the other team another look. I always loved that. When I was growing up, I loved watching Dan Quisenberry come into the game and throw whatever that was that he was throwing because nobody else did that. And that's what I like when I see Efros, you know. He gives you something completely different. And I think more teams should employ that complete wild card, you know, give another team a different look. And so I think that's a good reason to why he's thriving.
I love what you tweeted just a little while ago, Chris, that today in 1941, 81 years ago, Joe DiMaggio got a hit. White Sox beat the Yankees 13-1, but DiMaggio got a hit. Why was that a big deal? I guess it wasn't at the time, but looking back,
it ended up being a big deal because if you wanted to see another game where DiMaggio played and didn't get a hit, you'd have to wait a couple months. That was the beginning of his 56-game hitting streak on this game in this day in 1941. And hey, the White Sox won that game 13-1 for the record.
Yeah, well, I see. Well, Luke Appling had a hit in that game. Some people got it done. Phil Rizzuto, the Scooter, went 1-for-4 also in that game. So it's good to see.
So you got to figure if Eddie Smith, the White Sox pitcher that day, if he liked to brag to his friends about that, you know, hey, I give up the first hit to that. Well, you never know.
Eddie Smith over a beer into the 50s and 60s and 70s bragging about it. I love it. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy your day, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Beaks.
All right, you got it. So, yeah, today the anniversary of day one of Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak. Are you guys playing Beat the Streak out there? It is the game from MLB. It's been around for 20 years. It's really fun to play where you get to, all you got to do is pick a guy who gets a hit during the course of the day. And you just pick a guy who's going to get a hit, and if they get a hit, you have a one-game hitting streak. Pick a guy tomorrow, you have a two-game hitting streak. You can double down, get two on a day. And build it back up. And if you get to 57 games, if you break Joe DiMaggio's record, you win $5.6 million. It's just that easy. Of course, nobody's done it in 20 years, but it's really fun. What's been fun about it for me as I'm playing is I feel locked in on the entire league from a hitting perspective, and I'm starting to look at what are the factors that allow for dudes to get hits on the regular, like the very best hitters in the game. Why are they who they are? It's really fun. Grab the MLB Play app if you want to play Beat the Streak. And, of course, I'm doing a daily podcast every day of the baseball season, every morning, talking about Beat the Streak and really just talking about hitting every day. It's so, you know, kind of recapping the day and hitting, looking ahead to who the best matchups are on a given moment. It's been really, really fun. And, you know, on a day like today, now, because I've gotten in the habit of looking all the time, I can tell you that of all the matchups going today, you know, there are certain hitters that are bound to do well. Like, it's quite something. Starling Marte is hitting .350 in his career off Robbie Ray. .350. Okay. So how about Starling Marte? How about Marcelo Ozuna hitting .357 in his career against Joe Musgrove? So I'm looking at matchups every day. It's kind of fun to look at and think about. Speaking of ball players around the league, I noticed Jose Quintana reached the 10-year service mark. Congratulations to Jose Quintana. Drew Smyly also reached that this week. And when ball players get to 10 years, it's a big, big deal. By the way, on the Beat the Streak front, grab the podcast and Beat the Streak Daily. You can find it everywhere people podcast, because I do. So grab it there and listen and hang out with me every morning in the baseball season and talk hitting for about 10 minutes on your given day. It's pretty fun. But the MLB Players Association estimates that less than 10% of all major leaguers will ever reach the 10-year service mark. And Drew Smyly got there. Jose Quintana got there this week. What it means is it's an honor to get there. It is quite a milestone to get there. Very few do it. It feels like a sign of respect. Josh Harrison got there earlier this year. And for Drew Smyly, he got an Ace of Spades champagne, Ace of Spades bottle, Armand de Brignac, Ace of Spades champagne from his Cubs teammates. Guess that's a very, very good, very fancy, expensive bottle of champagne. But what it also means for a ball player is it's a full pension post-playing career. It means you get that full pension. So it's the acknowledgement of the journey, of how hard you've worked, of how you've found a way to stick around, hang around in Major League Baseball, and you've locked yourself in for the full pension once your playing career is done. And that is big, big stuff. 670 The Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel, who you're with here on Hit and Run. Tough news yesterday, acknowledged by Jed Hoyer for Ed Howard. Such a good and important young player for the Cubs' future. The former first-round pick, former Jackie Robinson West shortstop, has been playing really, really well. Defensively, he's brilliant. But the offense has turned it up, especially recently. The last, 14, 15 games, he was starting to hit much, much better, dating back to the middle of April. He had had a rough start offensively, but then was starting to find it, and just such a good defensive player. And now he's hurt himself. It's a hip injury. It's a serious one. He's in South Bend. He's been playing in South Bend. But we'll see. Ed Howard might be out, if not for the rest of the year, at least probably for a couple of months. And that is tough news. And Jed Hoyer had said there's never good timing for an injury like that. But it's a shame. As of right now, he worked so incredibly hard this winter. Got stronger than anyone at our camp this winter. The exit velocities were up. The strikeout rates were down. Playing the typical defense. It's a shame.
This was such a bummer when I saw this news. I'm such a big Ed Howard fan. It's you hope for a comeback, but yeah, this was, like you said, it was really turning the corner.
Yeah, I think he was turning the corner offensively and defensively so good, and a hip is a big, big deal, obviously, for a middle infielder.
For all of that, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on quickness, depends on athleticism and being nimble and body control and all that. So good luck to Ed Howard as he tries to make his way back. Thanks to everybody for listening on Hit and Run today. I had a great time. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing his usual excellent job with the production. It's going to be CBS Radio after me for a little bit, and then Cubs and Diamondbacks for a 2:35 pregame, and that'll be coming up a little bit later on this afternoon on 670 The Score. Thanks to Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago, Jack McMullen, the play-by-play voice of the AAA Indianapolis Indians, and Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow as part of Parkins and Spiegel. And check out the Beat the Streak podcast every morning coming at you from Odyssey and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you. Bye.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile.
you can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.